ready?
It has been about 11 years since Savannah has had its culinary renaissance. The year was 2014 when everything started happening around here. And I know because I had a front row seat to all of it. In 2014 was the year that the Collins Quarter opened, Trailer Park opened, Pachi at the Bryce Hotel opened. There are a couple of others that I know I'm for. Oh, the Florence, Hugh Atchison's Italian restaurant that had about a three-year run over on Victory Drive opened in 2014. Gave us Kyle Giacovino, who's still here. We'll talk about him in a little bit. But then Christmas of 2014, the Gray finally opened their doors. And as I see it, as I say it, I tell anyone who will listen, that was the beginning of the modern food era in Savannah. It has evolved. It is changing. It is growing every single day. It feels like another restaurant opens. And so we're taking this opportunity to invite an old friend and a local chef by the name of Ray Robertson to come and chat with us about Savannah's food scene. First of all, welcome. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. You know, you are a Savannah native.
Yep.
And you and I have known each other for a couple of years now, festivals here and there, chatting and, you know, about food and what do you like and what do you don't like and what are you eating and all that stuff. And so we started chatting a few months ago now about you coming and joining me here at District Life Studios to talk on occasion about what's going on here on the food scene. You, first of all, like I said, a Savannah native.
Yep.
How long have you been chefing? Let's go from there.
So I have been in and out of the food scene since I was 15.
Right.
I've worked about every position there is to work in front mm-hmm. of back of house. Mm-hmm. But I have been a chef for the past 6.5 years.
Okay. So when did you first remember getting the cooking itch bug thing? About 15 years old?
Yeah, I loved the serving aspect, being able to create and watch, you know, somebody take it one way and love it, and then another person totally hate it, and it's not their favorite thing. I love getting able to see the differences in people, but also being able to sit down and share a meal even when we don't agree. That's one of my favorite things about it. And being involved in every aspect of the kitchen. I love being a leader. I love watching other line cooks just get it and become passionate about what they're doing too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
What was your first restaurant job?
My first restaurant job was a small southern place called Southern Image in Richmond Hill. That's where I first started.
A southern food restaurant at Richmond
yep.
Hill. You lie.
I was being gracious. It was definitely a mom and pop southern restaurant where they had a cake business on the side as well. That didn't really pique my interest. It was more so of the cooking aspect mm-hmm. of things. And I started as a server and kind of worked my way around from there.
At what point do you remember, was there a moment where you said, I want to be in the kitchen?
Full time. My first chef job, actually, as a sous, I applied to be the front of house GM. And the hiring, contractor at the time was like, I've unfortunately already filled that position, but I've seen you've gone to culinary school and you have experience in both front and back of house. I'm looking for a sous position, PM specifically. Would you like to fill it? I had no idea what I was saying yes to.
Right.
But I took that job, and it completely changed my life. Completely.
Where was that? Can you share?
Yeah, it was actually at the Fat Radish.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, on MLK. So.
Oh, wow. I was ready for you to say it was somewhere else, not here.
Nope. It was definitely here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Fat Radish was at the corner of MLK and Congress. It was one of the handful of iterations of that space that came and went. It was good, but it wasn't enough to draw people to come down there. Would you agree?
I would agree. Very yeah. veggie forward mm-hmm. Menu in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then when COVID hit, it was hard to stay afloat.
Yeah, for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
I was just talking to, I'll leave the name out, a very popular restaurant here in town two or three days ago, and I hadn't spoken to the owner in a minute, and they were telling me, yeah, you know, 2020, I didn't think we were going to make it. And this was, this is one of the more popular restaurants in the entire city.
Yeah.
And she said, in 2020, I didn't think we were going to make it, and we were able to connect some dots and pull through. So it's not at all uncommon to hear what you just said. So you were here, but you haven't always cooked here.
Correct. Yep. My husband was in the military, so we traveled a lot. I went to culinary school in Arizona, ran a food truck in Arizona heat in the summer.
But it's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat. It's a lot different. It's very much two totally different aspects. But I worked a food truck there, loved it, fell in love with what I was doing. Still really wasn't sure. I was doing all the cooking on the food truck, but I still wasn't sure if I really wanted to commit to being back a house yet. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it wasn't until I came back to Savannah that it kind of just fell in my lap and I realized I couldn't turn back.
That's awesome. So you were at Fat Radish for most of their run there?
Yep, the whole thing.
How long were they there?
Want to say they closed
2 years, doors. Maybe?
Mm-hmm. Three years. Or they closed the Christmas or New Year's Eve of 21, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So where'd you go after Fat Radish?
After the Fat Radish, I went to the Gray Market for a while, helped open the Gray Market with Mashama, love her, Brian, several people that I learned a lot of skills from. I used to show up early, watch Matt teach me how to bake bread from scratch and the bagels with Natasha.
Right.
Soaked up all that I could and then went from there to the Alita. Was there for a while, loved it. I loved the aspect of the different food scenes within the hotel itself. I guess serving people for breakfast and then going upstairs and having a whole different scene upstairs for Lost Square and opening that kitchen upstairs was really fun.
You have a nice variety of experiences here.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool. Do you sometimes find yourself going, man, Savannah, this wasn't the Savannah I grew up in?
100%. It is definitely not the Savannah that I grew up in.
Do you talk to other chefs, friends, maybe that you knew from Arizona, whatever? What do you tell them about what our food scene is becoming?
It has changed a lot. Like you said, I think when Mashama opened the Gray, that really sparked a fire in Savannah and Low Country as a whole to realize that food just wasn't, you know, one way and that we could expand and have, you know, different cultures. And like Mashama says, Southern Port City.
Right.
You know, that's what we are. We are a port city.
Right.
And so I think it's completely different. Also in the fact that we have the Southern hospitality thing going for us.
Yeah.
That makes a huge difference from what I've seen as a chef compared to when you go to Phoenix. You might get great service. I'm not saying that. But when you come somewhere in Savannah and Low Country, it's, hey, how y'all doing? You know, let me tell you, you know, they'll talk your ear off trying to convince you to get sweet tea instead of unsweet tea. So I think that also impacts what we're doing in the food scene as well in Savannah.
We are the hostess city of the South. I don't disagree with what you're saying. Would you, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, would you consider us, let me be nice in how I ask this question. How much of a foodie city would you consider us to be?
I definitely wouldn't put us in my top five.
No.
Not at all.
Me either.
Like, and it kind of hurts my heart a little bit.
Yes.
Because growing up here and just being here and living here, I mean, you can attest to the same thing, but it's definitely, if I'm telling somebody, okay, you got to go to this city to get bagels, you know, I'm going to send you to a bodega in New York, like the best bagels I've ever had. Big Bon is coming close now.
Right.
Okay. Big Bon is bringing it back here in Savannah.
Yeah.
But I definitely wouldn't still put Savannah in the top five for me.
No. And I tell people, The way to describe our food scene is two ways. I'm sure you've met people. I guarantee you've met either civilians who I describe as outside of the F&B industry, or people in the industry who move here and go, this place isn't a foodie city that I was told it was. Mm-hmm. But if you've been here, I've been here 20 years, you most of your life, if not all of it, and you go by what we used to have to what we have now, you and I are dancing in the streets because we didn't used to have a steakhouse.
Correct. Didn't have a steakhouse. And this was like, even I remember downtown, I mean, there was Outback.
Right.
Like that was that was the adventures of going downtown to get a steak.
Right.
Like that's just where you went because there was no other options.
Yeah. Yeah. There weren't any options outside of Southern food, which is what made Paula.
Yep.
And, you know, obviously now Lady and Sons has closed after 36 years. Were you surprised? Were you sad to see that?
I was sad.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's another business that shut down in the restaurant industry. For that reason, I'm sad. I am not surprised.
No.
I'm not surprised. For me, seeing what it was when it first opened and being a kid and watching the line around the block and people waiting hours just to get in for a table.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had, this was back when it was like you had 30 to 45 minutes for your table and they would rush you out so they could get the next table in.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised, but I am sad.
I have trouble waiting 30, 40 minutes nowadays for anything. But back then it was worth the wait.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I'd stand out in the street, not in the summer.
Nope.
But I'd stand in line and she put the water with lemon and the mint out there and all that. Yep. And you remember all that? Yeah, it was very much worth it. But so we have a tiny food scene. You and I would agree on that count. And people ask me all the time, oh, what about Savannah? Slow your roll. Charleston, New Orleans, Portland, Oregon, you know, a couple of others off the Asheville even. Has a superior food scene to what we have here in Savannah. But I appreciate what we have. This is our home.
Absolutely.
And we get excited about what we do have. Would you agree that we have obviously a lot more options, but we lack depth?
Agreed.
And that depth, would you say, is what will push the next bagel place to be the best bagel you ever had? If you had two or three great bagels and they kind of we're chasing each other to be great. Is that what it will take for us to rise to that Asheville, Portland level?
Absolutely. I think because not only do us as chefs create, like, we love being competitive.
Yeah.
But I also think that it breeds camaraderie, you know, because you might do the bagel better because of your service, and that's just who you are. People come to see you because of your bagels.
Yeah.
But the next bagel, you know, creator might not, you know, be so well at the friendly aspect, but their bagel profiles are off the charts, you know? So having both of them makes the market even better because they're also working with each other, but they're also competing, you know, and being creative and pushing the bounds because, you know, I wonder what he's working on that you know, that I'm missing.
Yeah. I mean, everybody, when there's competition around, sits up in their seat a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say, well, that's what Savannah's missing. No, I think the chefs, the air quote foodie chefs out there, modern food guys and girls who have come to town are trying to push the envelope as much as they can and still sell food.
Correct. Yes, I would agree with that 100%.
Because there's a fine line to walk. If I've learned anything in the 15 years I've been doing Eat It and Like It is I've watched all you guys. Man, my menu is boring. I don't like it, but it's what sells.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, there have been restaurants who tried to, Folklore was one, and maybe even Fat Radish a little bit, try to do something outside the proverbial box, but the tourists don't respond to it.
Correct.
And so you then end up doing fried chicken on your menu and you're like, oh, another fried chicken place.
Right.
That's the battle you guys face daily, isn't it?
It is because it's not only are we trying to like appeal to our community, our friends, our family, our coworkers, but we also, you would be naive to not believe that tourists are what push the city.
Right.
That would just, you would be living a lie to think that that's not what funds your revenue every year.
Right.
So being able to balance, you know, bringing people in from your community as well as catching the eye of the tourists, because let's be real, the number one thing I always hear, hey, I'm coming to Savannah, I want a good place to get seafood.
Right.
That's the number one thing I always hear, because we are a port city and everybody associates Savannah with seafood.
Right.
And when you're not that, when that's not your niche, it's very hard to please everybody when they come in that door, especially as a tourist.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And you need to sell numbers. I'll leave a name out of it, but there's a very popular restaurant in town that opened as lunch and brunch, and eventually a year and a half, 2 years, I want to say maybe later, started a dinner menu. And it was so highbrow. I didn't even know what half the stuff on that damn menu was. I'm like, what? It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was way, way over the average visitor to Savannah's head. And within 6 months, they had dialed it back to a steak, a pork chop.
Yep.
You know, that keeps us from growing into the atmosphere, if you will, in my opinion, of a Nashville or a Portland or a New Orleans. Do you agree with that?
Agreed. 100%.
And people still, you know, you say they come looking for seafood. I maintain in addition to that, they come here looking for Southern food.
Correct. Yep. Like Southern food. I mean, honestly, I don't care how you give it to me. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. if, like you're saying, if you want to put all the finesse on it.
Right.
Or if you want to serve it family style. Mm-hmm. Both of those options are available mm-hmm. in Savannah right now.
Right.
But that's what people are looking for as well. They want, and I have to say that I feel like the big shift for that comfort food really came from after COVID. Because for me in Savannah anyways, is because everybody was looking for that connection, missing home, not being able to be with their loved ones. Mm-hmm. And so comfort food became even more symbolic to our daily life. We want it because we missed it for so long and our lives became in an uproar. And now comfort food is even more what somebody's seeking out than just your average cheeseburger.
I don't disagree with that. The flip side of that, though, is my observation, and I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on what's happening. Our pop-up scene right now, pop-up dinner scene in Savannah, is more vibrant than it's ever been.
Yes.
Chef Chino and all the others that are doing pop-ups around town.
Crushing it, dude.
Yes, and they're packed, and they're popular, and people can't wait to get to the next one. It's proving that we have become a bubbling city of elevated palates, but I still am waiting for a chef like Chino to open a forward-thinking restaurant full-time. It would have to be small, but then you can't pay the bills. There's a trap there, if you get what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's why they do the pop-ups, because I don't want that overhead, because then I got to fill the seats every single Tuesday night, not just pop-up Tuesday night.
Correct.
Do you feel like we have enough? I don't like the word foodies anymore, but I don't know how else to describe them. Do you feel like we have enough people that can afford good quality foodie food, if you will, to support two or three of those type of late air kind of restaurants that are small, modern, and a little progressive, common thread?
I think I would agree with you that they're out there. Mm-hmm. I just don't, we're getting bigger. I would agree with you there as well. Like Chino's pop-ups are like extremely hard to get into. Mm-hmm. And if you're not first or last, and you know, that's amazing. But do I think that we have enough of those foodies that it would be something that would have overhead? I don't know. It's really, we're close, but I just don't think that we're there yet.
Nope. I agree with you. We're not there yet. Like there's a place in Charleston. I found out about 3 or 4 months ago. He's still there. Have you heard of Our Kitchen?
Our Kitchen. No.
Our Kitchen is on Rutledge Street. That's where the name comes from. Years ago, I went like 7, 8 years ago. He was doing $35 for three courses and you eat whatever I'm cooking. And every bottle of wine was $25. Again, this was 7, 8 years ago. And he would do a turn of five everybody out by 6:30, another one at 7, and then I think on the weekends he was even doing a 9 o'clock turn, and that was his model. And I found out a few months ago that he's still doing that, and I thought, man, would that work in Savannah? Maybe just Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Maybe. But then how do you pay the bills with that little bit of revenue?
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Again, it was $35 for three courses, but that was a long time ago. Now it would have to be, I'm sure it is a lot more. But those types of things make me think, man, for all of the growth that we've seen in Savannah, we still need more to take that next step. Is that a fair statement?
A very fair statement. Yeah.
People, though, get impatient here. I get poked by people. Ah, you don't know what you're talking about. We have plenty of people. No, I don't think we do.
Mm-mm. No.
If you're talking about guests, clientele, eaters outside of tourists, we don't have enough yet. Is that fair?
That's very fair. And I think part of it, too, goes back to especially being in downtown Savannah, mm-hmm. with all of these surrounding cities, particularly Pooler,
right.
that's exploding.
Right.
It's, you know, it's offering the Dave and Buster's right. and, right. you know,
right.
the Buffalo Wild Wings, uh-huh. for example.
Yeah.
And, you know, those aren't the only restaurants in Pooler,
right.
to say that.
Right.
But it is drawing a lot away from people mm-hmm. wanting to go downtown at all.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Have you been to Noble Roots in Pooler yet?
Yes.
That's a good one.
That's good.
I think that's the only foodie food, if you will, in Pooler. I tell people, you need to go. Oh, yeah. Either they've been and it's great, or I'm not going to Pooler. I can go downtown. Okay, well, knock yourself out. But yeah, it's good.
It is very good.
It is good. They do a nice job out there. So what's next for us? In your opinion, what would you like to see in the next, you know, 2 to 4 years?
Oh, man. That was hard. Because for a while, I wanted to see the whole, like, food truck scene. And then Starlin came around
yeah.
and fit that kind of for everybody and offering those options, you know, on a local, wider scale. But, I mean, it's hard to say. Mm-hmm. I would like to see more, like, local partnerships. I know a lot of restaurants in this area do local partnerships, but more that we could do together mm-hmm. as well as individually mm-hmm. To push each other in that sense for what's best for our area as well as accommodating the tourists itself. When somebody asked me my favorite spot to go downtown to eat, it's very hard. There are my favorite spots to get certain things, I'll tell you that.
Right. That's how I eat too.
But there's not one place that I'm like, hey, my aunt's coming to town, let's go here. And we mm-hmm. can go consistently and mm-hmm. be excited. There's just not that place for me.
Yeah.
But as far as like the food scene as a whole, I don't know what our next step is.
I think we just need more.
Yes.
More people?
Yes.
Which, you know, some people listening to this would be like, no more people. All these apartment buildings are opening up everywhere. People got to live there. And I think that will lead to more restaurants, you know, like Kyle Giacovino is doing his Lucia Pasta Bar in Starland. More, yep. more, just yep. more. More options. And I think they'll all do well. I think Kyle's going to do very well. I think eventually when the Darling opens, they'll do very well. You know, we have more coming on the horizon. You know, Anthony DeBrasini with Collins Quarter is opening Italian food on Broughton Street. Bougie Italian food. I don't know if you had heard that yet.
No.
He's going super high end.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, right on Broughton Street.
Pasta is one of my favorite things.
Yeah, he's going to do it. And, you know, Ritz-Carlton is coming. They'll probably have a restaurant. You know, that's high-end stuff. Well, Darling isn't so much high-end, but and Kyle's I don't think will be so much high-end. But we, for me, 2 to 4 years, we just need more, which will bring out people to spend their dining dollar at all these different places.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Well, we'll see what happens. Where do you go for sushi?
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know if I have a favorite spot.
No, neither do I. Not in Savannah. It's tough. Over in Hilton Head, there's a couple that are actually pretty good. What are some of your favorite casual spots? One or two? rapid fire.
Oh, man. Cotton and rye. Yeah. Always top of my list.
Yeah.
Whatever they're pushing out over there, pork chops,
yeah.
chicken wings.
Yeah.
It's always good. Love Chef Peanut over there with her creativity, and yeah. her desserts are fantastic.
Yeah.
Next. Oh, man. That's a toughie. I don't know.
You've been to Over Yonder?
Yes.
I like Over Yonder.
Eden Supper Club is probably my next one.
That's a great one.
I love the small
yeah.
niche that they mm-hmm. fit.
Yeah.
Very creative. Chef Jared and Nicole over there.
Yep. Agreed.
I think last time I went with them, I had a crunch wrap that he did, and it was absolutely fantastic.
I bet it was. Ooh,
it was so good.
That sounds good.
I mean, I always love the gray. I love Mashama, what she's doing over there. There's always mm-hmm. something different and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my favorite thing I've seen recently is she's making those edible oyster shells. Have you seen that?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's super cool.
Interesting.
Super cool.
Interesting. What do they taste like?
I haven't had one yet.
Oh.
I've just seen them unveiled on her Instagram.
Insta-face.
So, yeah.
Wow. I have to try that. Interesting. If last question, and we'll get out of here. If you could open your own concept tomorrow because you know it would crush here in Savannah, what would it be?
I mean, it's probably going to sound really cheesy, but it would be Southern
family. Of course.
That's where I'd go to. I like to blend certain things together, like Southern Mexican, certain flavor profiles like that. But really just down-home good food, you know, nothing fancy, but a little bit elevated, and just a place to, like, call home, I guess, is what I would say, somewhere comfortable for people to come.
I will share mine with you
yeah.
at the risk of someone hearing this and going, I'm going to do that. macaroni and cheese.
Yep.
Do nothing but mac and cheese.
Yep.
Different flavors, different proteins. Do vegetarian, mushrooms, portobello, so that it's hearty.
Yep.
But it has to be the best damn mac and cheese
you've
ever
had. I was about to say, it puts all the pressure on the mac and cheese.
Yes. But that shouldn't be something that's so elusive to do.
Correct.
You can nail that.
Yeah.
And if you nail the mac and cheese and you roll in buffalo chicken and make it hangover worthy and make it, you know, nibble for lunch, make it vegetarian.
I mean, some of the best mac and cheese I've had was with brisket on top.
There you go. Stuff like that.
Brisket, it would be delicious.
That, and call it Jesse's Mac Attack.
I love it. Jesse's Mac Attack.
I'm not going to do that, but I think if somebody did something like that, it would work.
Oh, yeah.
If the mac and cheese was nailed.
It would have to be killer mac and cheese.
We'll work on that. Ray, thank you.
Of course. It's always a pleasure.
Hope you'll be back every few weeks or so. We'll visit and talk about what you've been up to and what you're eating and liking and not. And we'll see you soon.
Sweet. Awesome.
See ya.